I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah. Puckle! And welcome to the 442nd episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my co-hosts who haven't been here for 300 episodes. maybe actually, Sigran, you might be close. You're pretty close.
Honestly, I've been trying to be on like every week, but you know, like everyone's bored with coronavirus, so I haven't had a chance till now.
I mean, we do have the amazing as always, Sigran, and then we also have the former trivia maestro himself, P. McGee.
Hello, I have certainly not been here for 300 episodes.
No, but welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course. What else would it stand for?
Yes,
the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we made up in 2007. We talk everything from the Pokemon trading card game to the Pokemon video game series and more, whatever those may be. Maybe one day we'll get Pokemon Amiibo cards.
Ooh, I don't know how I feel about that.
I know what I'll do when that happens.
Yeah, just an NFC chip programming essentially.
Yeah, kind of
right?
You could do it just like the Animal Crossing Amiibo cards. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they haven't gone that route. I'm going to be 100% honest. I'm surprised.
I'm glad
it hasn't
happened. Haven't.
Yeah, I certainly don't mind.
It kind of brings back like the thoughts of the e-reader cards back in the day.
Mm.
And how everybody totally didn't have an e-reader because the e-reader sold super poorly in the West.
Yeah. Yeah.
I own one.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
I own one.
I feel like that's something that's expected of a podcast host for Pokemon. You know, like, you gotta have everything.
That's probably true.
You gotta know what you're talking about, right?
So just to like quickly change topics, because I thought this was really funny and it happened this week. So Puckle not only stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, but it turns out it also stands for the People's Union of Civil Liberties.
I love when this shows up.
Which is it's like a humanitarian group in India. I don't know like how politically like radical they are or not. I really don't know. But every once in a while, like there'll just be some like random Indian guy on Twitter that'll be like yelling at the People's Union of Civil Liberties and will like tag us in it. And I don't know what the topic it like what the subject matter is, so I don't know if I should respond and be like, "Go Pikachu," like as a reply to the tweet or something like that. But
it's like they're talking about racial injustices and you're talking about Pikachu. So.
Well, because like I don't know what they're tagging us for. I'm very confused.
Yeah, like should you try to inject the humor or should you just let it go?
Do I let it, like, because I don't want to get, like, a bunch of backlash from, like, a very specific, like, radical group in India or something like that. And then, like, they come and they, like, destroy our iTunes review page or something.
Oh, no.
Because, like, we're racially insensitive.
Yeah, you know what happened with T-Series.
And so that's honestly what I'm most worried about. But it's been a time. Yeah, like that, I thought that was hilarious. I that happened this week. It's not the first time it's happened either, by the way. I just thought it was funny that it happened again. I don't know if it's the same guy that's doing it over and over again and just doesn't realize that he's tagging a Pokemon podcast every time he does it. He just assumes because like we're the Puckle Podcast. That group must hate us, by the way. That group must hate us.
Yeah. Did we kind of pass them up on the Google search results?
We definitely have.
Oh,
I don't know if that's the same case in like if you were like from India or not. and like Google would be like, oh, you're in India, so you're probably looking for like the socially relevant in Google or Puckle. But here in the US, if you search Puckle, we do come up first. Because they were, I mean, if they really wanted to do it, they would buy Puckle.com. And yeah, the only reason we haven't is because, like, fun fact, like in the early, well, not the early, but in the late 90s, early 2000s, people would just go buy four-letter domain names in the hopes that somebody would want one day, and then they just hold on to it. And so that's what happened to Puckle.com. Like, somebody bought it in, like, 2000 or 2001, and they've just been squatting on it. It doesn't do anything. It literally, if you type Puckle.com in, it says, hey, contact me to buy this.
Yeah. Ugh.
I feel like Scrum would know better. I feel like there was something about, like, purchasing those, and, like, they passed some kind of internet laws in more recent years to kind of
stop that. We would have to have, what's the word? We would have to have copyright or trademark on the name, which we don't.
I see.
And so that's where we'd have to go with it. And yeah, so that's kind of where it gets hairy. So they're legally allowed, but like I float them an offer, very low ball offer every year. So
have they responded to you? Has the owner responded?
Never.
Yeah. It's like, my price is final. Puckle means the world to
me. I'm probably the only person that's floated them an offer ever, so it's fine. because you can see from, like, 2007 to now, like, if you look at the price, like, the price is, like, increased, like, 20-fold. And I think they do it based on, like, what the internet search usage is for the acronym. And I'm like, yeah, that's because I exist. Like, nobody else is going to come and buy it.
Well, like, maybe the People's Union for Civil Liberties might.
Maybe. It's not that expensive either. Like if you're a larger organization than us, like a podcast, like, it's not an unreasonable amount. Like, I think they're asking for like 17 or like 20K or something like that. And so it's not like they're asking millions of dollars or something for this URL.
Dang.
But it's, yeah. I mean, it's still pricey. I mean, we don't have that. Yeah. So I'm not like going out of my way to buy it. I'd much rather buy an oil tanker at that point, you know.
Right.
Back to
or at least
again.
An oil schooner.
Maybe a tugboat.
A tugboat
could be cool.
Yeah, this, like, have tiny, like, three-person parties on the tugboat.
I think the tugboat is actually a realistic goal.
Oh, we could record episodes on a tugboat. Yeah.
I think tugboats you can get pretty cheap. But what have you guys been up to in Pokemon lately other than buying tugboats?
Oh, so much, to be honest. You know, like, I've picked up my 100% of Emerald Run that I'm trying, which, you know, also involves, like, getting every Pokemon from, like, Gale of Darkness, Colosseum, and Leaf Green, and, like, defeating all the Battle Frontier heads. So I've been, like, EV training Pokemon for that, and it's a slog, but, you know, it's fun, and I'm having a good time doing it. Also been playing a lot of Pokemon Go with these flashback events, and those have been real fun.
Dude, those have been a blast, actually. I really like how easy they are to do. Like, that's the kind of research I wish I had, like, every week. If I could have a flashback type research every week, I would be so happy.
Yeah, for sure.
I like Pokemon research.
Pokemon Go, in my opinion, in my opinion right now, I'll let you go here in a minute, P. McKee.
You're fine.
I apologize for cutting you off. So I think Pokemon Go, with the response to the pandemic, has made the game, like, way more playable.
Honestly,
I'm gonna be completely honest. I think increasing the distance for Pokestops and gyms has been phenomenal. Because, like, there's things where, like, before, like, the glitch out that would happen with your avatar every once in a while in, like, terms of GPS would affect that. And now, by getting rid of that, by doubling the distance, everything's fine. And I don't feel like it's too drastically different than it was before. Like, yeah, I can reach something that I couldn't reach before. But it's nice to be able to do that reliably.
Right.
And they've done that well. And I mean, the incense is a nice quality of life improvement, but that's going to be gone.
Go Battle League
has been a far better experience.
It would be unplayable if it wasn't for this, the measures
it's still
taken.
It's still a little unplayable, but we can talk about that another day.
At least you can play as much as you want, you know?
Yes, you can play the broken, like, game than, as much as
here,
you want.
You can play five times, then you have to walk 5K in order to play again. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with every, like, the game is very playable right now, and I dread them going back to the way it was before.
Yeah, remote raid passes are also really useful for getting, you know, the legendary of the time.
Oh yeah, I'm waiting for us to be able to raid with friends. That's really what I want.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That's really what I want. So, P. McKee, what have you been up to?
So on the Pokemon Go end, I've been enjoying the research as well. The only downside I'm finding with all of it is I don't have any more inventory space. Like I have, I think 850 slots and I have like 920 items right now. So I can't even spend for eggs. And so I'm like running out of eggs every week. And
I'm so sorry.
I don't have more items to get rid of. It's a weird, like, it's cool that I have so many Pokeballs and so many potions and so many revives and everything, but like I'm running out and it's weird. And I can't get enough coins because all the gyms keep getting taken over because no one else has anything to do. And they don't have to leave their house anymore because you can just play it from your house because of the double distance, like you said.
Yep.
So
I do understand for more populated areas. I can get that for more populated.
Like, yeah.
The gyms by me aren't next to anybody's house. So like I have to go like a little out of my ways to go and take it over. But for the most part, like
hold longer.
Yeah. I mean, I there's like three that I'll walk to like within a mile. And mm-hmm. I'll go take those over. And if I take all three of them over, like two of them will get taken over in a few hours. But like by the time everything's taken over, like I'll have my 50 coins.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And granted, they're going to change that. So who cares?
Yeah, I really hate the new change up they're doing. I thought I liked it when I first read it. And I really hate what they're doing.
Aren't they just adding more? They're not taking away, right?
No. OK, but they're killing
the amount you get from gems. So it's going from 6 coins. An
not
hour
having
three.
It's cutting it in third.
Oh,
it's
third.
It's from six to two.
Oh God! So even worse than I thought.
Yeah.
And then if you complete all the other challenges, you get like 5 Pokecoins a day.
Yeah. So there's like a list of like number. It's like a list of like 10 or 11 challenges, and if you complete those, you get 5 coins, like total 5 coins for completing all 11. And then they're taking your gems from 1 coin every 10 minutes to 1 coin every 30 minutes.
Huh.
And yeah, and so it's absolutely. I mean, they do increase your maximum total to 55 possible. But
you need
it's
like 8 more gyms to do it.
Yeah, it's absolutely stupid.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm not a fan of that.
I don't know why they're doing it because they're not like decreasing the number of coins you can already get. And it's not like 50 coins a day is like a super sustainable amount.
They're just trying to get people to spend money in the shop.
Yeah, I don't know. Are they hurting? Are they hemorrhaging? Because I doubt they're hemorrhaging.
Yeah, no, like Pokemon Go definitely has had a resurgence of late, I feel. Like, I've seen people out and about.
I feel
now.
Like they should take, like, oh, all these people really like these pandemic responses. We should keep this going. Like, I really think they should consider that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little disappointed in that.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what's going to happen or not. I Niantic, to me, like, used to be this little underdog, but now it's just, like, turning into this thing where it's just like, I don't know that you care anymore. And.
Well, that's what happens when you got investors. You got to meet the expectations.
We can talk about that another day, but there's some news, so let's kick it on over to the news.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we've got quite a few things. It's actually been a party week, man. So the wild area has shifted to Gigantamax Eevee because we wanted a bad Pokemon and we got it. And then Meowth is later this week as well. So Eevee runs until the 25th. So you could be listening to this on the 25th. And if it's the morning, you're probably okay. But in the afternoon, on the 26th, it's going to switch to Meowth. Both of these can be shiny now, which I guess is cool, and have their hidden abilities. So that's cool. A thing. You can have all adaptability, right. Gigantamax Eevee.
No, I think its adaptability is regular nature. I think it's like Runaway or something awful for its regular.
No, adaptability is the hidden ability.
Yeah.
I'm looking this up.
Yeah, I already know this for a fact.
Yeah. So we also have new mystery gift Pokemon, and items are being given away in the lead up to the Isle of Armor DLC, which... we still don't know the release date of.
So fun fact, like, so it's said in the Japanese press release that these are being given away as part of the lead up to the Isle of Armor DLC.
Okay, so
these are supposed to prepare you for that. Oh. That's what it says. Yeah.
Also, before we get too far away, I'm on Serebii and it says anticipation is Eevee's hidden ability.
Oh, I got it backwards. They both start with an A.
Yes. So you get an even worse Eevee ability for hidden ability. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, so if these are correct, we're probably looking here. I'll go ahead and say what we're getting as mystery gifts. First, it's a level 15 hidden ability, Galarian Mr. Mime. So that's Ice Body. And the other is a collection of balls. So you get a Lure Ball, Heavy Ball, Moon Ball, and a Dream Ball. You can get those through May 28th. Mystery gift for Galarian Ponyta will run from May 29th to June 4th, alongside a ball set of Level Ball, Fast Ball, Love Ball, Friend Ball, and Beast Ball. That's a pretty good deal. Galarian Corsola will run from June 5th to June 11th, alongside an evolution item set of Sweet Apple, Tart Apple, Chipped Pot, Cracked Pot, Whipped Dream, and Sachet. And Galarian Meowth will run from June 12th, alongside a set of 50 Big Nuggets and 100 Experience Candy L. So, are we looking at Isle Armor the week after, June 19th?
That's what we're thinking. That's what we're thinking, but I mean... To be fair, we probably would have an announcement now if they were still doing directs, but they just seem to be like, shadow drop, shadow drop, shadow drop. And everything at Nintendo right now. Like, we got, like, we just know randomly a Paper Mario game's coming out in 2 months now. Like, what's going on? Like,
it's fine. I'll be happy when it shows up.
I think these Pokemon are cool giveaways anyway. I'm into it.
Yeah, for sure. And the balls, too.
I think Berserker's hidden ability is not bad either.
It's Steely Spirit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like it powers up the steel attacks of other Pokemon. Yeah. So it's pretty good in BGC.
It. Yeah, I'm not against it.
Galarian Corsola is nice because that's the hidden ability you want. Mm-hmm. First body. Rather than, what was it like? What was the other one? Like weak armor or something awful?
Probably.
Well, weak armor isn't terrible. You can run a sweeper set with it.
No.
You can do
what?
Cursola.
With Cursola.
Yeah, okay. Give it a weakness policy.
The inferior Pokemon. Okay.
That special attack stat is nothing to laugh at. It's like 150.
Yes, it is. Yes, I mean, but you'd have to be able to hit a Pokemon first.
Retroactive speed grading. It works. I'm telling you.
In the Pokemon home world, we finally have an update, which is actually really exciting once we get into it a little bit. So
to be fair, I haven't paid for it once yet. I haven't paid for home.
I haven't either. But I'm excited about the new thing, and maybe I'll reconsider. But it's only short term. Anyway, battle data is now available. So if you wanted to have access to the information, it's there now.
How did that take 3 months?
I don't know. We're still waiting on being able to transfer, Pokemon Go Pokemon into,
Pokemon yeah. Home. I didn't expect that happen for like a year. I fully didn't expect that to happen until 2021.
I don't know why it's so complicated though, because you can throw them into Let's Go and they convert everything they need to convert. So how hard can it be to push them into home? I don't know the data that well.
You just don't want to give people everything they want. Okay.
I know. How dare they?
How dare? Because it turns out if you give people everything they want, what features are you going to take away to make your new game seem different? Okay. and that's the mentality of Game Freak.
Yes. So the Wonder Box has been shortened to 1 hour. So it's much quicker to do that now, which for people that like to use that feature, you know, good for you. And then for a limited time, I don't know why it has to be a limited time, but it is, you can finally trade with friends from a distance. So the feature we thought it included at launch, and we thought that's exactly what friend trade was, is actually operating as we want it to. So you can actually trade with your friends from all over the country.
The way it should work, but it doesn't. And I don't understand. I don't understand. Like, it obviously can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what pisses me off the most is like, it can.
And they're showing it can.
why are you blacklisting these abilities for no reason?
I guess so you're forced to play Sword and Shield?
I don't know. You still can play Sword and Shield, but like, if I wanted to, I couldn't trade it for Alligator to Scrawn right now in modern hardware. I could now because they've unlocked it. And so that's something where it's just like, this is a niche that this fills. Mm-hmm. And I think Pokemon Home had so much potential. And I feel like that's just like, that's the story of like a lot of things in Pokemon right now is like, it had so much potential.
And it's being like needlessly hampered by themselves.
Yeah. It's needlessly hampered. Like obviously at this too, like this is just so frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then as a last little bit, we don't really know enough about it yet to be like diving in too deep, but there's some data miners that have found some new moves in this update that may be relevant to Isle of Armor. One of them is jungle healing. So that's where most of the credence comes from. But we don't know if these are all their official names or if maybe they're filler or what the deal is. I mean, it's just the names. There's no information on what they do.
They claimed in Isle of Armor there were going to be new moves. So I'm not really too surprised.
No, but we just all we have is some names right now. So the list is all around online if you want to go look it up and see what those moves are. I mean, some of them have some very exciting sounding names, including what looks like a water type U-turn, which could be very exciting, but we don't really know enough yet.
So
we'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be exciting. So in video game battling news, there are more details about the Players' Cup event that have been released. There's going to be an invitational featuring 8 players that will occur in June and be streamed a couple weeks later to determine one of the top 16 slots. So they're going to have an invitational where they just bring in 8 people that they like, that they're best friends with. And they're going to, then one of those people is going to get one of the top 16 slots automatically in the Players' Cup tournament.
And that's like probably for positive press because you want like kind of pokey celebrities or whatever.
I'm not into this. I think this is stupid. I guess somebody has
to get 16th place.
You know, like I agree with you, Thatch. I think that talent should be the sole determination of who gets to participate in these things.
I absolutely agree with you. I think this is absolutely stupid. Everything that they did right with this new event, in my opinion, like it just it leveled the playing field, and then they're just like, well, we still want to give an unfair advantage to someone like I don't want to say unfair advantage, but we still want to make sure that somebody everybody knows is there, right? Because especially with the different format, because this is best of one to like get in, which I think is probably scarier to a lot of people because it's not very best of one is way different than best of three.
Yeah, it's best of one is a lot more gimmicky, so you see a wider array of like high risk strategies.
Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely going to be that's definitely part of the factor, I think. And I think they might be worried that some of the typical top players might not perform as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to make sure like someone like Wolf Glick is there.
Pretty much.
Yep. And I don't feel good about that. It just feels icky because it's just like they should like just because I haven't competed before or something like that, I have to be at a disadvantage and these guys get to have just like an automatic advantage. And then they'll win this. They'll get a free trip to Worlds and then choose to commentate instead of compete. And like that's a thing that happens. And that's what I think that's very frustrating.
Yeah.
I think this is very frustrating. It's nothing against them per se, because I mean, it's perfectly allowed. And like, I understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, because commentary is a different experience than competing. But I think it also just takes away from the community at large when it just focuses on like just a few players when there's definitely thousands of players. And I really want what I'm most excited for is to see names we've never seen before because they just never had the opportunity to go to events. That's what I'm most excited about. And then they're just like, oh, well, we're gonna bring this guy that we already know is good.
Yeah. All right. So
hashtag feels bad, man.
Right.
They don't like to do too much changeover too quickly. They like to keep some names around as long as they can.
Yeah.
So people have some continuity.
I kind of get it, but it's a Pokemon tournament. And I feel like the only people that that need the continuity are the people that are already super duper invested already anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are a lot of very good Pokemon VGC players who deserve to be recognized, and having a feature like this, you know, be a thing at all, you know, that there's one person who's just not going to have a chance to compete because of that, you know? Yep.
Yeah, they're taking a slot away from other people.
Oceania. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Australia doesn't need to compete. It's fine.
All right. So in Pokemon Go, they are holding a vote right now, if you're listening to this early enough, to decide the community days for June and July. The options are Squirtle, Weedle, Sandshrew, and Ghastly, and the winner and the runner-up will receive community days. Well, I initially thought that, but, you know, each one has their case, I feel, except for Squirtle, since it's already had a community day.
They're all bad.
Like, with Sandshrew, you'll have, there will be normal and Alolan Sandshrew, apparently. So that's like the appeal there. So they'll get a shiny as well. Weedle, I think, has an unreleased shiny as of now. So you can get that blue-eyed Beedrill. And then Ghastly is getting a really good fast move that like charges up its attacks and makes it even like Haunter even more scary in Great League. So like there's a case for everything, honestly.
I honestly think that this is a lose-lose-lose-lose situation.
You know, you're kind of right, but we got to make the most of it.
Where's the Gible community day?
Right, where's the Gible community day?
I've been wanting Gible for ages.
You know, I don't think they're going to do that in a pandemic, but...
They're not going to do Gible. They're not going to do a Gible community day at all. That would be nice. That's why.
That would be too nice for us.
That would just... like that. Niantic's really, like, the community days have gotten pretty bad lately. Like, since, yeah, like, Piplup.
We just came off of a CDOT.
Yeah. I mean, we had a CDOT community day. Wow.
Well, it's, yeah, it's this Sunday.
Wow.
It will be over for people listening, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. CDOT. So exciting. Okay.
So the, on a more positive end for Pokemon Go, the throwback challenge is still going on. We're in the final week of the throwback. So it's right now at the Sinnoh Research, which is lasting until the 29th. And if you complete it, you receive a Cresselia encounter, which is actually pretty exciting compared to the last couple of weeks where it was Ho-Oh and Groudon. I'm actually excited about the Cresselia. Shiny
the Cresselia, Glamia. I am too. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I don't have, I don't have,
I don't have one.
Yeah, I don't have most of these legendaries because I don't have anyone to do 5-star raids with, so yeah, I can't ever
I agree with you. I do, but you all live across the country.
So until you can raid with friends, it's hard to do. But Shiny Glammeow is now in the game, so they're adding another Shiny Cat this week, which is exciting. As usual, the regions need to be complete within the week they occur. And then because it's the last week and because not everyone's going to complete it, they have come out with a paid solution if you want to be able to still participate in the Galarian, Zigzagoon, Meowth, Daramuka, and Stunfisk event. So you can purchase a pass. I don't remember what the price was for the pass.
It's like $7.99 or something like that.
It's not awful, but you know, it's $8.
But you can also, I think you can also get Genesect out of it. So like, even if you didn't do it before, I'm going to pay for it.
I didn't realize you get the Genesect.
You get extra stuff.
Yeah.
I'm wondering with the Genesect, if it's like a random drive form.
I think it might just be standard, probably.
Because they are in the game. Like, I know at least three drives are in the game.
I don't know what out of the last Genesect worked. So, it's probably very similar.
I got a normal drive one. That's all I know.
And then if you did have all of the 4 weeks done and completed, but you still wanted the Genesect and you still wanted to pay for the pass, you'll get extra candies for all the Galarians. So, that has its own little benefit as well. Still the same cost, so...
Yeah,
something to consider if you missed out on any of the weeks and you really want to be able to catch the Galarians next week in June. So get excited.
You also get like a bunch of like Unova stuff too, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Like you get Snivy, Tepig, Oshawott, Blitzel, Audinoh, Darumaka, Gothita. Like these are all cool things to get in general,
yeah,
I think.
I could use some Gothitas.
I mean, my Unova deck is pretty small. And so is my Unova deck, my Sinnoh decks, but like, I mean, they're both small, so like, it'll be nice just to be able to fill those
Unova
out.
Pokemon are pretty rare. Yeah, they're out there. Well, and like, I didn't realize Darumaka was in the game until I hatched a 10K and randomly got one.
Yeah, right? They're like, a lot of the Pokemon are out there, and I think it's worth trying to go out there and get that. Like, I know I've got like the first two gens complete and filled out in Pokemon Go, but I don't know how much I've got for, Gen 3, I'm probably close, minus like Ninjask.
Oh, yeah. I just finished my Gen 1 last week. That's the first time I've ever completed a Gen 1 Dex worth getting all 151 Pokemon. It was on Pokemon Go, of all places.
Right.
So it was kind of saddening in its own way, but it was very exciting to actually have completed a Pokedex for Kanto.
So just a couple other minor things on Pokemon Go. Beginning on Monday, or Tuesday, my bad. Reshiram is going to be the new 5-star raid until June 16th, and then Zekrom's going to follow, and then Kyurem. So that's very exciting. I know a lot of people are really excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
My friend, most of my, like, normal, my IRL Pokemon friends, that's what we'll call them, IRL, the group that Ryan's a part of. Hi, Ryan. And Mark. Hi, Mark. They both listen, so I have to give them their shout-out. We should keep saying hi,
mandatory
Mark.
Mandatory
shout-outs. We should get Mark on at the end of the year.
Yeah, hi, Ryan. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Mark. There we go. All right. So we can get Mark on. We can talk about his Pokemon experience on the podcast. He would love to do that. If you guys want to do that, just type hi, Mark, on the Discord, I guess. I don't know. I forget what his username is. You could tag him. All right. Yeah. And so Pokemon Go is also going to be undergoing server maintenance from June 1st, 1800 UTC until June 2nd at 1 UTC, which is the universal time clock. All those are like 5 hours ahead of Eastern, I think, and then 5 hour or then 8 hours ahead of Pacific. So it's like right in the middle of the day for the US.
And for seven hours.
So in the middle of the day on June 1st, you're not playing Pokemon Go, just as a heads up. And then there's some giveaway stuff for Puckle for the Patreon. Well, there's issues with that, so I'm not going to go into too many details with it. We're working them out, though, currently. Just be aware.
And we'll update Patreon if we need to.
Yep. Follow Patreon for the updates. Stuff is still being given out, I will say that. On that note, though, we are going to go ahead and we are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Today, P. McGee and Scrawn are going to be operating together as a team to answer five Pokemon trivia questions brought to you guys from the Discord. Each question is worth 1 point apiece, except for that time it's not. Depending on how bad they're doing, it's worth two or three. And they can get a possible total of 6 points that way. They do have a lifeline. They do have a lifeline that they can use, which is a hint that if they don't use it and get all the questions correct, they can cash it in for an extra point, or possible total of 7. They are working together to try to get 30 points before any of their other fellow co-hosts. Whoever gets to 30 points first gets a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. This segment is always brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for a bunch of cool, nerdy artwork. Go check them out. Those guys are great. They're just fantastic people. They have also said that whoever participates in trivia and gets their questions read, they are going to be entered into a raffle once we hit 30 points and it's ending, and you'll get a $20 credit to AnimeGravy.com.
Oh, that's sweet. Cool.
So you have to get your questions right on the show. If you want to do that, you need to submit your trivia questions to the trivia submissions channel on our Discord. Nowhere else will trivia questions be accepted. Nowhere. Literally nowhere. If you give me a trivia question in any other format, you will not get your trivia question right on the show. Fun fact. Mostly because Thatch doesn't curate them. Ribby curates them on the Discord. So
you heard it here, folks. Send your trivia questions via shortwave radio.
Because honestly, I mean, I've received trivia questions so far in iTunes reviews. I've received trivia questions in DMs. I've received trivia questions in emails. What I'm really waiting for is people to go back into the back catalog of Puckle, find my phone number, which is in the back catalog of Puckle, and then start sending me text messages with the trivia questions.
Oh, no.
That's a guaranteed way to never have it read on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
So
it's also a wonderful way to get your number blocked in Thatch's phone.
Yes. Yes, it is. All right. So, without further ado, let's jump right into these questions. Our first question is going to be from Murray this week. What is the only three-stage evolutionary line in which every member in the line is able to learn both Giga Impact and Hyper Beam?
Giga Impact and Hyper Beam.
Three-stage evolutionary line that can learn both Giga Impact and Hyper Beam.
At every stage.
Huh.
At every stage.
So these have got to be Pokemon that didn't have evolutions, I feel.
Yeah. Is there anything that evolved twice as this generations went on?
I don't think so.
Or at least it had evolved once. I feel
like, because most of the extra evolutions were introduced in Gen 4. This is a really hard one. Hmm. Giga Impact and Hyper Beam. It's got to be three-stage.
Probably a normal type, maybe.
It's not the Slackoff line. I just went through Gen 3 and I tried to teach a Vigoroth Hyper Beam. It didn't work.
It wouldn't be Whismur, would it? I'm guessing probably not.
I don't think so.
True.
You know, honestly, this is a really hard question and I kind of am comfortable using our hint on it if you are.
Yeah, I'm good throwing it away on the first one. Let's get rid of it.
All right.
At some point in the Pokemon franchise, this Pokemon line, every evolution was its own end stage. It had gained evolutions in subsequent generations, and it's a normal type. So I guess I confirmed everything for you. Let me see. The only way to get one of these Pokemon so this Pokemon was originally introduced in Generation 1. And the only way to do so was through the game corner.
Okay. So Porygon.
So it's got to be Porygon. And then in Gen 2, Porygon 2 was added. And in Gen 4, Porygon C was added. So it's got to be the Porygon line. Okay.
I like when I say everything and then I can't think of the right answer. It's real.
Yeah, that makes sense. Fun. So I guess we're going with Porygon.
Yeah, Porygon.
The Porygon line is correct. That is 1 point for you guys. You are one for one. Our next question comes from Skullmane Banky. Yes, that's how we'll pronounce that. What is the most common ability?
Oh, shoot.
Oh, it's got to be like levitate or pressure or...
Okay, so levitate's high up there. Sturdy's high up there. I don't know if either of them are the correct answer. I feel like there's something else that's a little more common.
What about like Blaze, Overgrow, Torrent?
No, because those would be equal, so there's nothing that would... They wouldn't be a three. It wouldn't be a three-way tie for the correct answer. Ooh. I would hope not.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not a three-way tie. No.
Okay.
Is a tie though?
No.
Okay.
No. There are 43 Pokemon with this ability.
Let's see.
Sturdy, levitate. There's something else that's really common. I can't think of right now. I've read this before and I was kind of surprised by the top one.
Like Keen Eye?
No, not 43. Oh my God.
Yeah, this is tough. You don't really think about that. Intimidate, maybe?
Intimidate's pretty high up there.
Yeah, I feel like it's not 43 different Pokemon.
I don't think there's 43 Levitators just because you don't get it. It is a hidden ability ever. It's only the standard ability.
What was the other one you had said?
That was it. Those two. It's Sturdy, but I don't think... Maybe it's Sturdy?
I think it's probably Sturdy. Yeah. I feel like that's a pretty good guess.
I'm okay with Sturdy. I feel like it's something else, but I can't think of what it is.
Yeah.
Is Sturdy your final answer?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Sturdy is unfortunately incorrect. It is the... second... it is tied for second with Levitate. Sturdy and Levitate have 41.
Very interesting.
However, Swiftswim is the answer with 43 Pokemon.
Swiftswim. Okay. I can see that.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm. So our next question is your Pokedex entry, as always. And this one is from IsGross22, or is it LSGross? I forget which one.
I think it's IsGross.
Is it IsGross? IsGross22. Here we go. It's Pokedex White 2 entry states, it runs through the narrow tunnels formed by Excadrill and Onix. It uses its sharp claws to catch prey.
Ooh. Runs through... Oh, I bet it's Dreddigon, if it's white too. Because it lives in caves, and it has sharp claws. And it, you know, I feel like that makes sense.
I can't think of anything else, so I'm going to entirely go with you on this one.
Yeah, I think it's Dreddigon, and that's final answer?
Dreddigon is correct.
Sweet. Cool.
Dreddigon is, so that's 2 for 3. there we go. Okay, so since you got a question wrong, this next question is going to be worth up to 3 points for you guys.
Oh.
This question is from BAM! it's all caps. So
I love that name.
And he wants to know, what 3-stage evolutionary lines can you go from the first stage of a line to the last stage of line by level 2?
Okay.
And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 answers. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say for 1 point, I need 2 answers. For 2 points, I need 4 answers. And for 3 points, I need 5.
Okay.
I don't expect you to get everything.
So Porygon Z.
Yeah.
Roserade.
Roserade, yep.
That's 1 point, yes.
Togekiss.
Mm-hmm.
Raichu.
That's 2 points. So you're still missing 2.
Yeah.
Okay. So friendship. Who friendships? Mm-hmm. What Pokemon friendship up to a level and then can evolve from a stone? That's like the most way. The way to get the correct answer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I've been doing. I had a discussion with Sigma about this the other week, actually. So some of it's still in my head. That's why I remembered Roserade. Mm-hmm. Who evolves by happiness?
Would it maybe be Igglybuff? So the Wigglytuff line.
Because they're moonstones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that'd be him and Cleffa for 6, if it's correct.
That's 6. Yeah. That is correct.
Oh, we got it.
All 3 points.
Nice.
Good for you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are now 5 for 4. That's all of the answers. Pichu to Raichu, Cleffa to Clefable, Igglybuff to Wigglytuff, Porygon to Porygon Z, Togepi to Togekiss, and Budu to Roserade. All right. Question number 5, as always, is our base stat question, and this is a person that has never done one before, and it's from VGC. K-tick? I don't know. Hectic. Hectic. Oh, my gosh. Oh. It's just like random hectic capitalization. VGC. It's Hectic VGC. There we go. Which non-legendary ice-type Pokemon has the highest base special defense?
Okay. Highest base special defense.
Sure ain't Avalog, I'll tell you that. Might be Walrein.
The answer might surprise you.
Glaceon, maybe. Glaceon has a pretty high special defense.
Glaceon's up there. What about Aurora's? I don't know where it's. It has stats. I just don't know where they are.
Right.
It just has
same,
awful typing.
Same. You know, I'm cool with wagering it on Aurora's. If you want,
I mean, we can take till time. I need to think of some more ice types.
Right.
Because Walrein sounds kind of surprising.
Do you guys still think I have a timer?
I don't know.
No,
until you're yelling at us.
I just go. You guys need to give me an answer because I want to move on to the next segment.
All right. maybe Frozmoth, but Icy Scale is kind of if what bolsters it.
Yeah, it's not bad though. What about Mr. Rhyme? Is that good special defense?
I don't
or
think
no?
so. I think it's just high special attack.
Or no, he's got like a weird like his stats are like pretty level, which makes him terrible. It wouldn't be Frostless, you don't think?
Oh no, it's not Frostless. That's
are there any megas weird. We need to consider?
Megas.
Who's the Mega Ice types?
Right, so Mega Abomasnow, and there's got to be another one at least.
Mega Glalie, but that's not him.
Mega Glalie, yeah. I don't think it's a Mega Ice type.
Okay.
You know, I'm cool with Aurora still. You know, because it's kind of like a gamble.
All right, we'll go with Aurora's.
Auroras is incorrect. The answer is Cryogonal.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I see that. Okay, Cryogonal.
The answer is Cryogonal.
We didn't even think Regice. Is Regice special defense?
It's a legendary.
Yeah, well, it's still a legendary. It said not.
Oh,
legendary.
You're right. Yeah, yeah,
Regice
yeah, yeah,
would
yeah.
win, I think.
Regice is the highest by far.
Okay.
Yes, with like yeah. base 200.
No, it's like a specially defensive tank.
Yeah, so I mean, you are correct there, but yeah, no, it's the answer is Cryogonal. So you guys got 5 points today. That does change up our standings. So currently in first place, we have a tie between Sublime and P. McGee with 11 points.
Ooh.
Seth Vilo's in second with 10 points. Whimsicott, R. Sigma, and Jushir are in a three-way tie for fourth with 6 points. And in a two-way tie for seventh, we have Linny and Scrawn with 5 points. Shamu and Basket have yet to get on the board.
Well, McGee, too, at five.
No, McGee. Right. No, McGee's
I'm
at
11.
Oh, nice.
He already
first.
Had points.
Sweet.
He already had points.
Yeah.
Sweet. Great job.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's tied for first.
You're in the running.
All right. So that is it for this episode of Puckle's Poke Quiz. We're going to shift gears, guys, and take a quick break, read you an iTunes review, and head on over to the topic. And welcome to another podcast review that we've gotten from Oki94, the essential podcast for any Pokemon trainer. Thatch and his crew are the best. The knowledge and variety is unmatched in the podcast community. The rotating list of hosts and topics keeps the show fresh. I've been listening for almost a year and a half, and I kickstart every week with Puckle. Keep up the great work, crew. Well, thank you, Oki. We will do just that. And if you want your iTunes or any podcast review on the show, just go ahead and review us on your platform of choice. We appreciate it. But now, on to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be evil teams or bad guys. Let's just say bad guys in Pokemon. Did they do their job? Did they do it?
Did they succeed?
Did they succeed? I don't know. Were they successful? Were they good bad guys? I think we did it once before a really long time ago before Sword and Shield came out. Way before. I think it was like before Sword and Shield were even announced.
Yeah.
So this is pretty old. So I think it's one. It's really cool to take a look at Chairman Rose in that light. The one thing that really depresses me is like looking at this and just looking at how similar a lot of Pokemon bad guys are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like
I feel like a lot of Pokemon bad guy teams, they would benefit from just having like a small R&D department. I think that's really just their biggest issue is they just need like one guy who's like reading books all the time. That's all we need.
In Black 2, White 2, you've got Colress working for Team Plasma.
I don't think Team Plasma is a terrible team either, though. Like, I think If we go through it, just like a very face value, like I think Giovanni is successful because he was already running like a Pokemon crime syndicate. His mm-hmm. only downfall is being defeated by a 10-year-old prodigy.
Yeah, he didn't get the Master Ball, basically. So he had to use other means to try to get Mewtwo.
I think Giovanni, yeah, he was successful before he even tried.
Did he do a good job or did he do a bad job?
I think he did a good job. He took most things for what he wanted. I think he was just stopped for the Master Ball, and like that's the only thing he didn't do.
My joke is that he would have done a bad job because he's evil.
Gen 2 Team Rocket, I think, is a little bit more depressing because I don't know why they just wanted to get Giovanni back so bad instead of just being like, hey, let's just try to run it ourselves.
No, very charismatic leader, you know?
They wanted their leader back.
I don't know. I don't know how it's I feel fine. About that.
We didn't really need Team Rocket and Gen 2. They just kind of hang out a bit.
I'm surprised there wasn't like more of like a power grab going. You know, I fully expected like Alexander the Great, like death type scenario. You know what I mean? Because when Alexander the Great died, he had like 8 major generals that were like pretty much all in the same status that could, you know, take his place. And they all tried to do it, and then they just like split up the empire 8 ways.
It's very counterproductive.
Is very counterproductive, yes. So that's just like that's fully what I expected from Team Rocket. Maybe that is what happened. Maybe that's where Archie came from.
Maybe.
Speaking of Archie, Archie did a bad job.
Yeah, Archie and Maxi kind of just fizzled out on their plans to drown and destroy the world.
In a sense, they were successful. They achieved their plan, which is making it all water ground, kind of.
They achieved their plans of awakening Kyogre and Groudon, but I don't think they ever achieved their final goal. I think because especially if you look at like the Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire version of events, you realize that they go, oh, man, we done messed up. We done messed up. This was not anything that we thought it was.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Please help us. Please make this right. And like that's like in that scenario of events, I think they failed because one, they didn't look far enough into what it would mean to wake up that Pokemon. And I think that is, I mean, that's the story of a lot of these teams.
That's most of these teams. I mean, that's creating Mewtwo. That's awakening Kyogre and Groudon. That's everything that has to do with Galactic.
Galactic. Yeah, I don't know. I think Cyrus might be happy.
Yeah, no, like Cyrus did kind of succeed in his goal, you know, of creating another world.
I think he's happy. I especially in like the Platinum story, and with I think Cyrus is locked in the distortion world in that continuity.
Yeah, he just didn't like the world, so he wanted to be alone. Well, he wanted to be like a godlike character.
He wanted to make the world and remake the world in his image. Like he was like far out there, okay, man. he was pretty far out there. He just really, really wanted to like make the world new. It's really weird. I think he stays in the distortion world. Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of gets stuck there, but like he's not too opposed to being stuck there.
Yeah, he's not opposed to being stuck there.
Did he show up in the Rainbow Rocket stuff?
He did, yeah.
Ultra?
Rainbow Rocket was probably one of the cooler things that happened.
It was fun to see all the bad guys hang out again.
Yeah.
Well, they all came from worlds where they succeeded, too.
It's the best form of them.
Yeah.
The darkest timeline.
Yeah, the darkest timeline for each of their goals, having been fully realized.
I would say Getsis, though, did like a really good... Like he is probably the darkest villain like ever.
He had the most thought out like plan too, even if it didn't fully succeed.
He played the long game.
All thought out.
He raised a child and asked that and then said, hey child, you need to tell people to release all the Pokemon.
He knew he was too evil to be convincing, so he got a new front man to do it.
Yeah, that was crazy. He got like he raised a child for like 15 years. And like did that. It's nuts.
I feel like he wasn't a good father because N was basically raised by Pokemon.
Yeah, he's not supposed to be a good father. That's not the point.
You can be an evil mastermind and still be a good father.
Okay, so you're trying to add like gray areas in bad guys in a franchise that tried to do that for like 30 seconds, but was like, we need to let people know that Team Plasma's the bad guy. And so, like, you have this really convincing, like, oh, man, this is kind of a gray area, releasing Pokemon. Do they want to be slaves? And then, like, the next scene is two Team Plasma grunts literally kicking a Munna. And it's just like, oh, cool. That makes sense.
Yeah, but like there's that scene in Driftvale City where you have like the two halves of Team Plasma and the good half is like helping people, you know? Like it's kind of like PETA. PETA Plasma.
I would say PETA even goes even is worse. PETA's terrible. Like PETA's a terrible organization. I don't care how much you like animals. I think PETA's a terrible organization. And I think most people would agree with that. Like PETA is on like if people have stories of PETA just like walking up to their house and like taking their dogs off their front porch and then the dog gets euthanized because they're like, you weren't taking care of it. I'm like, I'm sorry. I left it on my porch for like an hour.
So you're saying that PETA is evil Team Plasma. They just want to take your Pokemon away.
It is.
I mean, that's been the comparison since like 2009 or whatever the game came out.
Like fun fact, like when Black and White came out, that's when PETA decided they were going to like make like a Pokemon, like a really gruesome Pokemon parody. And like there's a little game where you can play and like the Pokemon fight each other and like they get bloody during it. It's just to, like, show you, look how cruel you're being playing your animal fighting simulator. And I'm like, man, it's such like a crazy coincidence because it was like before the release of the game. Like that's the tone of the game.
Yeah.
Like the evil organization is PETA.
No, it's a really cool story.
It is. It's definitely one of the better done stories in all of Pokemon, I would say. Like maybe the best.
In the Black 2, White 2 storyline, Colress was kind of like the brains behind Team Plasma because he got what he wanted, which was like testing Kyurem's power and trying to push the limits of Pokemon power. So he kind of got what he wanted. Getsis didn't because of, you know, being defeated by a 15-year-old again.
He had a cane that time. He was definitely very frail.
Yeah.
It was a very evil-looking cane, at least.
It was an evil looking cane. It looked like it was a pirate ship cane. He goes from like this evil guy to like, hey, I am a pirate.
You know, he does have that floating kind of pirate ship.
Yeah, there's the pirate ship we have to invade.
He does. He does. You are not wrong.
He is totally a sky pirate who like controls ice. And that's amazing. Getsis is actually a really cool villain.
I don't know if he controls ice. It's more like he keeps a Kyurem inside that just keeps using
ice. And he shoots beams of ice at the world, you know. Same thing, clearly.
I don't know if it's exactly what I would say, but it's interesting.
So what ended up happening with Getsis? I need to know if he kind of succeeded or not.
When he's defeated, he suffers a mental breakdown and violently rejects the compassion and shows him. The Shadow Triad take him away from the giant chasm and later inform the player that Getsis is no longer mentally capable of any further criminal deeds.
So he ends up in a home. Getsis ends up in a home.
Yeah.
I don't think he succeeded with his plans.
Getsis ends up in a home and visits him every once in a while. Brings him some cookies. They play checkers.
Oh my goodness. Oh, okay. That's so sad.
So Lysander, I'd say Lysander at least knew what he was getting into. I feel like Lysander knew what he was getting into.
He builds this very successful telecom company.
He has the worst plan since like since Ruby and Sapphire. It's like the worst like thought out plan.
No. It felt like Cyrus, where Cyrus is like, I'm gonna become a god and like remake things.
Yeah, except Lysander's was more philosophical in that he didn't just want to recreate it because he could, but he believed that in its current state, the world could not get any more beautiful and that it would just suffer a fall from greatness. So he kind of wanted to basically destroy the world so that its beauty could be preserved forever in the state of your mind. You know, it kind of like goes with like the France artist theme, like beauty is fleeting and it's not permanent. It's transient. It's a really complicated, like philosophical thought.
It's really, but the end game is really bad.
Yes,
it is. But you could also say that he just wanted to turn the world orange.
That sounds like a really interesting philosophical idea, but I don't think anything about X and Y was ready to tackle that.
Yeah, and yeah. He failed too because a 10-year-old stopped him, even with his arm contraption.
Yes. Was he arrested either? Like, what happened to him? I'm curious now. Like, where's the justice in the Pokemon world?
I said it off air. I think the only time we ever see anything in prison is like Colosseum when they put like the mayor in prison.
Well, Colosseum and XD are completely different games. We can talk about that.
Gen 4 and Gen 5 have police officer sprites.
Gen 2 did too.
Gen 2 did.
Yeah,
because you could battle them. But I mean, that's also Team Rocket. I'm okay with being like, we escaped the law. Ha ha.
Yeah, that's fine. They're covert.
A lesson of Pokemon. Rich people are not held accountable for their actions.
After being defeated for the third and final time, Lysander expresses his disgust towards the fact that his beautiful world will never be a reality. The player and their friends attempt to reason with him, saying that if people cooperate together, a better world is possible, and they use the Mega Evolution achieved by him as proof of his bond that he has with his Pokemon. He, however, rejects the idea as mere naivety, and then attempts to force immortality on the player and their friends. What?
Oh.
Force immortality on their friends, that's an X version, and Y version, he will kill everyone in the building, and fires the ultimate weapon using what little power remains. The blast from the weapon destroys the building and seemingly buries Lysander and the HQ under the rubble. As a result, Team Flare disbands. Never mind, Lysander's just dead.
That's yeah, fine. Pretty much.
Like, kinetically, he's just dead.
Yeah. The end game with this, it's kind of tenuous at times in the XY storyline, because his plan did involve Xerneas and Eveltal. He was stealing the life force with Eveltal, but converting it into immortality for himself through Xerneas. So, like, in each game, you only have one of the components, and it kind of doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, he just dies.
He just dies.
Like, he just dies. Like, that's his justice. I mean, there's the justice in the Pokemon world. I guess he's just dead. Like, so I think there's, like, in Gen 7, so we can just, like, shift gears, because Lysander was, I don't know if he was good or not. He just, I guess he got to work, but
yeah,
I don't know if he was good at it or not. In Gen 7, we kind of have, like, two versions of things, like, two or three versions to talk about, because I think Lusamine and the Aether Foundation, the original one, is, like, your real bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of their twist. And I would say they were successful because they got her to go to, I mean, she went to Ultra Space and found Nihilego. And I think she was successful in, like, her goals. I again think it was one of those things where it's just like, oh, maybe, like, you know, like a little more research. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
And they just didn't do that. I mean, she didn't go to prison, but I don't think she killed anybody. So that's good.
She just kind of went off her rocker. You know, like, she's doing this amazing, like, running this amazing company that's all about Pokemon conservation, but she, like, abuses those means in order to, like, selfishly pursue the Ultra Beasts. And this is kind of like, you know, you got what you wanted for a little while, but you ended up, like, permanently mentally, like, messed up because the Nihilego poison is still inside of your brain.
Her end game was she, like, they took her to Kanto to go see with Bill to see if they could, like, fix her. I mean, her whole thing, like, she wasn't evil because she was just obsessed with it because, like, her husband had been sucked into an ultra wormhole previously.
I'm going to assume that she ended up in a home, too.
in Sun and Moon, maybe. It's kind of, like, bittersweet. In Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, it's not that bad. Like, in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, she's just, like, trying to help out the people.
Skull?
Not Skull. The other one. Like, the people that come from Ultra Space. I forget who they are already.
Oh, yeah.
Ultra Recon Squad or something like that.
Yeah, Ultra Recon Squad. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if anybody was really the bad guy in that game. I think it was more of, like, just things that happened.
Yeah. I think that's probably the more interesting thing about Gen 7 is, like, none of the villains were, like, pure evil.
I wouldn't even say Lusamine was evil in that game. She wasn't trying to do anything.
That was more complicated than they were in previous generations, because there was her. Guzma wasn't really that bad either. And then the Ultra
Guzma's just misguided. I would say Team Skull is just misguided.
Yeah, like, I'd say Guzma's plan was to make, like, sort of the people who couldn't complete the island challenge feel like they have a family, but he did it in, like, you know, rough sort of gang-like ways. And, like, he gave them a home, so I'd say he succeeded. I mean, they did basically steal all the homes of Po-Town.
It's fine. If I had to choose Sun and Moon versus Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, story-wise, I think I really like Sun and Moon better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it had a much better arc for Lusamine, and by, like, shoving Ultra Space down our throats in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, I think it really killed the story. Lusamine had this really cool arc that she got to go through, but with the Ultra Recon Squad in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, it just kind of killed all that and was just like, hey, save us.
Yeah, like, come defeat Ultra Necrozma.
Hey, come defeat Ultra Necrozma and fix our world, which is okay. I mean, meh, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, meh, I guess. I don't know. I don't feel too strongly one way or the other.
So Lusamine probably didn't achieve her goals in Sun and Moon, but she did an Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, and Guzma kind of did, but ended up learning a more valuable lesson about himself. Is this what we're going with?
Team Skull's like a whole fake out. They're not, they're supposed to be like the traditional like villain organization because that's what we're used to seeing. And then they're not really. And then it's Aether. So it's like the twist. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, it's the red herring.
Yes, that's exactly the way to do it. I think in Sword and Shield, they tried to do the exact same thing again with Team Yell.
Oh,
but everything was just done so badly because it was just like, oh, here's Team Yell. And it's just like, they just stand in the way. That's their job.
And they don't even have a real leader because both Piers and Marnie are just kind of like, guys, stop doing this.
Yes, they're just like, guys, what are you doing?
Let me win on my own merit because I'm a skilled trainer. Please do not obstruct others from participating.
They're just like, guys, stop. They're their own real enemy.
I mean, it could have been better if they built Marnie up as a character a little more.
Yeah, I think Marnie was just so underdeveloped. I think she has a really cool arc.
But she needed more encounters. Take a couple away from
Hop,
and then throw them to Marnie, and we're golden.
You could take any number of battles from Hop and give it to anybody else, and the game would have been better. Like, I don't think I need... Let me look. I'm sure Bubblepedia has, like, a list of, like, the number of battles you have with Hop.
It's like 8 or something.
1, 2, 3. And like there's also 3 multiplayer battles. 5. There's 5. 6. Okay, 7. 8. 8 battles.
8 battles with Hop. It's
8
too
battles.
Many.
3. Oh, 9. I found 9. Yeah. That's in the Slumbering Wield, though. And there's also 3 times that he battles alongside you.
I think the thing that's frustrating about Hop is he has an interesting arc, but it doesn't start until like the 5th or 6th battle. And so you do all these battles to get towards the arc. And then like the arc happens, the arc is interesting and it's fine. But like you could have cut out 2 or 3 of those earlier battles, thrown them at Marnie, and Hop still could have had his fine arc. And we could have gotten more out of Yell and Marnie.
Like if Marnie would have gotten 1 or 2 more battles, I think Marnie's character would have been fleshed out way better. And I would have felt something because I feel like they wanted me to feel something when we got to Poe Town.
Mm-hmm.
With Marnie, and I was just like, oh, hey, Marnie, this is the second time I've seen you in this game. What do you want me to do?
I think that's probably one of my biggest letdowns with everything in Sword and Shield, because we saw her early on, like, as a release image and, like, Morpeko, and, like, we thought she'd be really interesting. We saw some work for, like, Team Yell, and it all, like, culminates in what's Poe Town, which is just one long alleyway.
It's not Poe Town.
Poe Town's done better than
I got confused. Not Poe Town. Oh, God, what's it called? That you know what I'm talking about, the one that it's just one
Spike
long
Muff,
alley.
Spike Muth.
Yeah, Spike Muth. Spike like, Muth, so it has yes. a cool name, has a cool look on the map, and then you get to Spike Muth. It's just one long alley that culminates everything with Team Yell and Marnie, and then that's basically her story.
Don't forget the Mr. Mime trade.
Yeah, and Mr. Mime trade, yeah.
You can trade for a Mr. Mime there.
What's up with that?
Right.
I don't get it.
In case, you know, 2 new Mr. Mimes wasn't good enough, you can get the old one, too.
I think Rose, though, is the bad guy. I mean, that's what they want you to think, at least.
Yeah, like, he's very misguided, and he
essentially pulls an Archie and Maxie, and he's just like, oopsie-daisy, this is way worse than I thought it would be.
So he, like, tries to usher in the Great Calamity early?
He's trying to do it early so he can, like, prevent it and just get it over with. And he fails. He fails very badly.
Yeah. And like, what I didn't understand is like, okay, this event's not going to happen for like 100 years or so. So why are you trying to push it now during the Champions Cup that your organization is sponsoring?
Okay. So I take issue with that thought process, Scrawn. I take issue with that as a scientist.
Okay.
Because of global warming.
You know, I think global warming is different from, you know, the instantaneous event that Rose was trying
to usher
in.
Slightly different, but I can understand the mentality of being like, hey, let's just try to get this over with and, like, do it while I think we can.
Right.
While we've got, like, this unbeatable trainer, because he had, like, this crazy amount of faith in Leon, like an unhealthy obsession with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. And then Leon fails, and then, like, you come in with Hop, because, God, Hop is a really important character.
Oh, gee.
And you defeated. I mean, I wish all the rivals got the treatment that Hoth got. I feel like I'm not even mad about the number of Hoth battles in retrospect, just because like they were kind of needed. Like you needed those battles where you're just like, oh, Hoth has the same Pokemon for that one battle where he switches his entire party.
Yeah.
If Hoth was more interesting, it wouldn't be so bad.
That's when it really, I mean, if he wasn't just Hal, right?
Like, for example, in, like, Gen 4, if you just had Barry crash into you a few more random times, like, that could have been interesting. Because he had a thing, you know? Like, he was more interesting. His dad was Palmer, leader of the Battle Tower, you know? Like, you could go into that and, like, their relationship. And, like, how he's trying to measure up. Yeah, like...
I mean, it's Pokemon. I mean, it's like what we say. I mean, I don't know if it's our fault or if it's Game Freak's fault to just have these expectations that they can't meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to the Rose topic, I feel like if he had like used his political power, he could have convinced the region to usher it in early. He just got ahead of himself, I guess, as like an intellectual savant, but like who's not actually that smart.
He is the only villain that has been arrested to date, by the way. He turned himself into the authorities.
Oh my.
No other Pokemon villain has been arrested.
I think the thing that like sums up my frustration with Gen 8's villain as Rose is like, we talk about this off air and I still can't remember the name of his villain organization or what they were called.
Macrocosmos. I only know this because we read it like 30 minutes ago.
I didn't even, like, I still struggle to remember that. And I feel like that's part of the problem with like the whole story development.
I wish we would have gotten more interaction with that, kind of like we did with the Aether Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Because we got plenty with the Aether Foundation and that was fine. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, but I think this is a good place to wrap it up. So yeah, we'll cut it here, guys. Let us know which villain organization was your favorite and you think they did the best job in the mailbag this week. But we're going to go ahead and kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. So we're going to catch you guys on the flip flop.
Hey guys, Seth Philo cutting in to tell you about something awesome that I've been absolutely loving, Vite Ramen. If you guys know me, you know I have a borderline noodle addiction, and part of that love has always been a guilty pleasure for ramen. Well, Vite Ramen is ramen, but get this, it's actually good for you. You heard me right. The guys at Vite Ramen have spent years making ramen that's nutritionally complete, and I absolutely adore it. Each bowl has 30 grams of protein, which is more than your average protein shake, 7 grams of fiber, all 27 key vitamins and minerals that you need, and most importantly, tons of awesome flavor. Oh yeah, and did I mention it still only takes 4 minutes to prepare? It's basically still instant ramen. You can head over to viteramen.com and pick up soy sauce chicken, garlic pork, and my favorite, vegan miso flavors, as well as handy utensils and other such stuff. And here is the coolest part. At checkout, enter code PUCKLE, and you'll get 10% off your entire order. That's PUCL, all caps, for a whopping 10% off. Anyway, I gotta get back to rating, and you've got a show to finish. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode is National Dex number 006, Charizard, the flame Pokemon.
Charizard flies around the sky in search of powerful opponents. It breathes fire of such great heat that it melts anything. However, it never turns its fiery breath on any opponent weaker than itself.
I'm going to go grab my mouthwash real quick to clean my mouth off. Charizard.
You know, we talk about Charizard a lot and how it gets so much love, but we haven't given Charizard love for a while, so
it's okay because I feel like he's gotten love from a lot of other people instead.
We got
like
in
particular the
dues,
Pokemon,
you know?
Company.
We gotta do our dues.
I like it. Just it feels dirty. Charizard feels dirty. And so I mean, he's not bad.
No, he's got stuff.
His typing is obviously awful, but even in singles now, he can run like the heavy duty boots, mm-hmm. which make him not as bad, but. It's still a Charizard.
I'm just imagining a Charizard in boots.
He's wearing his little boots, little booties. Unfortunately, he doesn't get his Megas anymore, which made him good. But G-Max isn't terrible either. Like the G-Max Charizard G-Max move isn't bad. It's one of the better ones.
It's a fire spin attached to the move, basically, right?
I mean, he's got decent bulk and decent special attack and like a very good speed at base 100. And so it makes him definitely playable in the VGC format right now. So good for Charizard. Good for Charizard. He's doing okay. And, I mean, he's got a decent move pool on top of that. He's not going to do horrible. So the team we have today is actually from one of Scrawn's players.
Yeah.
So for VGC.
This team won a recent online tournament that we put on.
Yes. So this has a Charizard G-Max, obviously, on it, holding a Lumberry. So you can't status it, I guess. Probably because it would be scary to be, like, paralyzed or something or put to sleep.
Yeah, it throws a wrench in the strategy.
Yeah. And so 252 special attack, 252 speed, because this is your big hitter, with Blast Burn, Air Slash, Solar Power, and Protect. All those, so when you go big, you're hitting hard. And you're hitting scary. You're setting your sun. You're getting your one-turn Solar Beams when you go small. It's a good time. I mean, it's a very good Charizard. I'm really happy to see it's running Solar Beam. I see a lot of things, especially in like Battle Spot singles, not run Solar Beam, and they'll run like two fire moves and Air Slash.
Solar Beam is crazy good because like one of its counters is Rotom Wash, and and once the sun is up, it's not even like I think when it's I don't think it survives even if it Dynamaxes from a Solar Power Solar Beam. I think it just blows right through it.
No, I really like this. I really like Solar Beam.
You're pretty much always going to be G-Maxing, so you're getting like the really powerful G-Max attack. You know, you rarely even need the sun up.
Sableye is also on this team, which I'm actually really happy with this. I like Sableye.
it's a fun one.
Just because you get Quash. Quash is nice.
Quash is crazy good.
I mean, this is 252 HP, 64 defense, 192 special defense. I'm not sure what the EV spread's for, but I'm okay with that. And it's a Calm Nature, Taunt, Foul Play, Sunny Day, and Quash. That way you have more sun because there's other members on this team that really like sun, and you can still hit hard while you're in the sun. And Foul Play is just good Dark-type coverage on any Dark-type Pokemon. And Quash is really fun because you can really mess with turn order, and that's really big in VGC.
And like one of the beauties of this team is that it dabbles in a lot of different things, but doesn't commit fully to something. So you can, it might be playing as a Trick Room team for now, or it might be a Sunny Day team for now, but it's never just one thing. It's very versatile and it kind of skates along all those.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Trick Room mode,
before I forget, we need to give credit to Phil Wesley, who is the creator of this team. He very graciously is letting us have a rental code for it and the PokePaste for it. So the next member of this team is Dusclops. It is holding an Eviolite, of course. It has the ability Frisk. It has 252 HP EVs, 140 defense EVs, and 116 special defense EVs with a relaxed nature, zero attack, zero speed IVs. You're going to run Nightshade, Pain Split, Trick Room, and Haze. No real attacking move other than Nightshade, so you can just focus everything in your defenses and supporting your team.
Mm-hmm.
And up next, we have a Conkeldurr, which works great with Dusclops. It is holding a Life Orb with the ability Iron Fist, 252 HP EVs, 252 attack EVs, and 4 special defense EVs. A Brave Nature to optimize its Trick Room capabilities, running Drain Punch, Mach Punch, Detect, and Ice Punch for coverage.
Why Ice Punch over like Thunder Punch? I like Thunder Punch better, but that could just be me.
I think Ice Punch just hits more things. Like, obviously, you can hit more water types with Thunder Punch.
But I'm more scared of like Melodic.
There are a lot of dragons that we see.
But more. I guess you're running Solar Beam on Charizard, and you have Venusaur, so maybe you have enough coverage, and the ice would be nice for the Dragapult.
I don't think the team has any other way to handle Dragapult other than, I guess, Foul Play, Sableye is your other option.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. That's what it is. Okay. Never mind. I was wrong.
And then rounding out the team, we've got Venusaur carrying Wide Lens because he likes to abuse Sleep Powder a lot this generation. 252 special attack, 252 speed, modest nature, so he hits pretty hard, and once he's got the sun up, he's faster than pretty much anything, so he doesn't really need to
have the timid nature.
So he's running, like I said, the Sleep Powder, because that way you can do a lot of turn one sleeping, shutting some things down early on, ruining Dynamax turns. He's very frustrating to work around. Sludge Bomb, General Stab, good poison, Leaf Storm, good damage output, and then Protect, because it's a Protect-heavy team. And then rounding out the team is Gastrodon, who I don't see where the role for this Gastrodon is, but it seems like the team.
I think it's just like Gastrodon good
coverage wall.
Put Gastrodon here.
Yeah,
Gastrodon. We have a 6 slot. Gastrodon good. Put Gastrodon here.
Yeah, Gastrodon doesn't go in one hit. Yeah, you want it there.
So Gastrodon's running a Pinch Berry, which is helpful. Storm Drain, great. In case you're worried about some water stuff for Charizard, you just throw in Gastrodon. Gastrodon eats all that water up and saves you. 164 HP, 132 defense, 212 special defense. Running Assassin Nature with zero speed, because obviously if we're setting Trick Room, we want our things going slow that are not going to be fast. Scald for the burn, Earth Power for general stab and the special defense drops potentially. Yawn to force things out, and then Protect for some stall. So I like the team. Like I said, I think I'd come around to Gastrodon if I played around with it a little bit. I just don't think I've seen it in action enough. But
oh, Gastrodon's fun.
I like the team. I like G-Max Charizard a lot. I and especially with Sableye, I think they're a scary duo. I was trying one out with an ally switch Sableye, and that was frustrating people because they would go after the Charizard, they hit the Sableye, slash and live, and then the Charizard would just smack things around. So I like Charizard a lot in this gen for the G-Max available Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very versatile team. In the show notes, I believe we're going to have a rental code that you can use if you want to try it out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a first place winning team. So, you know, give it a shot.
Definitely. On that note, we're going to shift things over and we're going to go on over to the Pokemon of, or not the Pokemon, we're in that segment. We're going to go over to the mailbag. So let's switch on over.
It's mail time! Send in your emails.
Mail. And welcome to the Pokemon of, or not the Pokemon, the mailbag. Wow, I'm just like stuck on that segment today. This segment is brought to you by Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
And in addition, this is the segment where you can send an email into us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com to let us know what your thoughts are on that topic of the week prior. Last week, we talked about the competition for VGC going online, and we asked you guys what you thought about that. We got some emails. You can also send us emails about literally anything. Tell us how much you love Pikachu. I don't know. Actually, don't. Don't send that one. But, like, send us, like, any Pokemon email you got. We do have a prompt this week, though. If you want to send in emails next week, you can send them into pucklepodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to answer a question, the question to answer would be, what evil team organization is your favorite, and do you think they were successful and we were wrong? So go ahead, send those in to pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Our first email today, though, is going to be from... I forget his name already.
Coil Builder.
Read it. Go ahead. Tell us more about Coil Builder.
Okay.
And what he says.
Yo, Puckle Peeps. Coil Builder from Discord here. Just wanted to throw my opinion out to you guys. I've been playing VGC formats since Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum, but I've never had the money or time to play the circuit at all. Now I'm here, years later, married and with four kids. There's practically no way I could ever be able to play in the circuit. I was hoping to go to a couple of events that happened to be reasonably close, but we all know how that turned out. I think this coming event is a great opportunity for people that have the skill, but maybe not the money or travel time to make a showing in the competitive scene, which is basically what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, that
you're the person I'm most excited to see do well.
I know I will be going hard in the international challenge in hopes of getting in on the Players' Cup, and I would encourage anyone who has second thoughts about getting into competitive to take another look and give it a try. I think this is a good first sign of more of an online competitive scene in the months and years to come. Anyway, that's all I have for now. See you next week, guys. Coil Builder.
That's exactly what I want to see people do. I want to be like, I can't go to these things, but now I can be good at Pokemon too.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of really good players, as you said, that are out there that just mm-hmm. don't have the resources. Because
exactly.
You basically have to be like 23, like 18 mm-hmm. to 25 is like your window of competitiveness.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you weren't active then you pretty much have no chance mm-hmm. before, but now we do.
Yeah, I really I'm thinking it's just mostly like, because right now it's a real big cost thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I got this next email from Bam. Hey Puckle Crew, Bam here. I don't have a fancy Pokemon trainer name. Sorry about that. I just started watching your podcasts a couple. We love your name, Bam, especially when it's in all
it's
caps.
It's fine. It's so simple. And it's Bam!
An exclamation to the end, mate.
Yeah. Bam! I'm going to pronounce it this way regardless of what he tells me. Bam!
Bam! I just started listening to your podcast a couple weeks ago when my job got transferred to a different hospital about an hour and a half away. I may be new, but I've been listening to two episodes a day while driving, so I am catching up fast.
I am going to compete in the International Challenge this weekend. I have been playing underused on Smogon since Gen 6, but I am brand new to VGC. I like how one of the most important parts to being good in VGC is deciding what four Pokemon to bring each match. The team I have been using involves using a Choice Band Dracovish in Trick Room with a Hatterene that knows After You, but I am creating a new team for this challenge. I plan on bringing a Primarina with Weakness Policy and a Cantonian Dugtrio that knows Sludge Wave if I want to activate it myself. The Dugtrio also knows Ally Switch to help my Primarina avoid electric-type moves. Since the format of the IC is best of one, I like to bring teams that people will not expect because they won't have time to adjust. My Dugtrio has high horsepower and also a Reno Trap, so any Pokemon on the ground cannot switch, so I dare anyone to bring a Toxtricity against my Primarina. I really like how the Pokemon competitions will be online this year, because with work and graduate school, I would never be able to compete. If I do good this weekend, I might share my team on the Discord. If I don't do good, then just forget that you read this email. Keep up the good work. Bam. I love that.
I'm going to remember that I read this email regardless, because I'm proud of you. Bam. 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 After every battle he wins, I want him just to say to himself, bam. It's kind of like Shazam, but nothing happens. And
right.
It's less exciting, it's but it makes me feel good. If I were to say bam after everything I did, like, successfully, I think I would just feel happier as a person.
You should just say your name anyway after everything. Just say, like, Thatch!
Thatch!
You gotta have that
sounds,
confidence.
It sounds dirty.
Man.
It sounds dirty, though. All right. Bam, on the other hand, sounds more fun to say. Our last email today is from Fairy King Unova. How do you do, Puckle Crew? Fairy King Nova here. Oh, it's Nova, not Unova anymore. I apologize. Here with an interesting email. First, I've been working a lot since Target has been open the whole time during all this craziness, so I haven't been able to write you wonderful people. As for the prompt last week, I would love to compete, but I'm not that great at competitive Pokemon, so I won't be competing. Now for what I really want to talk about. A few episodes ago, Thatch mentions he wants to know what Game Freak will do with Unown since Hidden Power is gone. Well, I have an idea. A Thatch idea. First, make Unown the only mon to know Hidden Power. Yeah, that's what I've been saying. This isn't a new idea. This is already my idea.
It's a Thatch idea. He said it.
This is already
my
idea.
They did give credit. They did.
Don't brand my ideas for me, okay? These are my ideas.
Your idea has been branded. It is too late to retract.
Then we need to fix Unown. Its stats are bad, but can be fixed. No, it's fine. It's Unown. It's just a collectible. By giving it a stat boost of roughly 50 to 100 could make it useful, I think. No, it wouldn't be useful. Stop. You're just cutting you're cutting yourself off from 3 moves out of 24. Putting those stats in attack, special attack, and speed will help Unown become the Pokemon I want it to be. Next, we fix Hidden Power. No. Oh, God. This is a... Don't brand this. I don't want to brand this as my idea
this
anymore.
Is all your idea, Thatch.
Next, we fix Hidden Power. I can already hear Thatch saying no to the next part, but hear me out. God, I haven't read this email at all before this. We get rid of Dragon Hidden Power and make it Fairy Hidden Power. Why? Because Dragon is the only super effective to Dragon, when Ice and Fairy can deal damage to other types. I think this will be a neat way to fix this Pokemon in the move, but what do I know? I'm curious to what you all think. Anywho, till next time, Fairy King Nova. It's made better by the fact I was saying no, don't brand this when he said no. I can hear Thatch saying no to this. Mm. I don't care about fixing Hidden Power. I think Hidden Power is fine. And I think I think it's okay. I really just like I don't know. I just want Unown to be the only Pokemon that can learn Hidden Power, and then let me catch Unown. I just want to be able to catch all the Pokemon again. That's all I want.
Here's a crazy idea. What about Unown gets Hidden Power, but Hidden Power's type is determined by, say, a set piece in the game where you can switch that Hidden Power of that Pokemon?
I don't care. I honestly don't think Pokemon outside of Unown should have Hidden Power anyway.
Just make Hidden Power Psychic and be done with it. Psychic only for Unown, and then it's gone forever. No one.
I'm perfectly okay with the retcon of Pokemon taking away Hidden Power. I'm 100% okay with that because I think it made things really stupid and competitive. One of the most notable examples was in Generation 7, Landorus Therian was the best counter to Landorus Therian.
HP Ice
with Hidden Power Ice. Like, that was a thing. Mm-hmm. And it just gave like infinite coverage to Pokemon who didn't need it. And I think a lot of the Pokemon that did need that extra coverage ended up getting something to cover that. Like, I think one of the examples I can think of is Sylveon. Sylveon got access because it used to run Hidden Power Fire. It's got access to Mystical Fire now.
Yeah.
So I think that's a much better, I'd much rather have Mystical Fire on Sylveon than Hidden Power Fire anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think things like that are what should be done, just because I think it's stupid to just be like, hey, you can have any coverage you want, special attacker. And I honestly do. I think that really hurts the game.
Or it doesn't need to be a special attacker. It just needs to be a Landorus, but just enough stats to kill another Landorus.
I think removing Hidden Power Ice is going to, it can go either very good or very badly when Landorus comes back.
We'll find out.
Yes. On that note, though, we're going to go ahead and I guess end the show here. Thank you for everybody who sent out emails. I really appreciate all of you for doing that. If you want to send an email next week, pucklepodcast@gmail.com, let us know what evil team was your favorite and why. And then if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, so many ways to do that. So many. First, come to Discord. That's the best way to do it.
Yes.
But if you can't come to Discord and you want to watch Thatch talk about bowling on Twitter, you can do that by following us on Twitter. Actually, if you follow the Puckle account, you won't see Thatch's random bowling tweets. But somebody said something about a bowling ball the other day, and like I was telling them how they were wrong.
You just went off.
Thatch is really into bowling. Fun fact. And then we've got Twitter, we've got the Facebook, we've got the Instagram. We've got a YouTube channel that we've been doing a really cool series on, and it's very exciting. I think P. McKee's actually on this week's episodes.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's going to be very exciting. It was a good time. We are doing a Fire Red Nuzlocke together as a group. It's really fun. It's like little mini podcasts for ears. So if you haven't already, go over to youtube.com/pucklepodcast and watch those. We're trying to get enough watch hours so we can get repartnered, and we can start putting ads on those and like make a little extra side income from YouTube as well. So anything you guys go watch over there, we're actually really close. We're less than 500 watch hours away from being able to get repartnered, which is actually really, really close.
Nice.
Yeah. So please go over there, watch it. We would really like to see what you guys think. And if you guys like that type of content, we can kind of keep working on things like that. On that note, then let's see, what are the other things? Well, we also stream on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. If you want to help support the show monetarily, you can do so over on Twitch by using your Twitch Prime subscription. You could also go to TeePublic and buy a shirt over there, or you can go to Vite Ramen and use code Puckle at checkout for 10% off and get some yummy, yummy nudes. Nudes, NOODS. You dirty, dirty people.
Like noodles. Yeah, okay.
Like noodles.
I was very confused.
One of their little slogans that they have is send your nudes.
Oh.
Send nudes or whatever, but spelled like noodles. Yeah,
that's
it's
a
cute,
hip and happening slogan.
Yeah. And then the best way to support the show is to go to patreon.com/pucklepodcast. And you could try to get some Pokemon distributions, use the bot breeder bot to get whatever Pokemon you want and whatnot. So please use those if you want to. And we probably will do another one of those community days for the breeder bot anyway, but we will have more information on that maybe next week. Maybe, if that's just nice. So on that note, guys, we are going to kick it on out. We're going to end the show here. I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Skron.
And I've been P. McGee.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Side. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.